Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here today with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. A lot of stuff happening around in the world today, and we've been covering a lot of stuff dealing with the political scene and what's been happening down in the State House, and probably give you a couple of hopefully updates on some of the things there, at least a little bit. Lot going on down there. Pray for our state. Pray for things that are taking place down there. I'll just pass on some news here in just a few minutes after we pray. But also I want to touch on a couple of other things and kind of get us back into the Bible a little bit here, since we've had a number of guests and different topics in here these past few weeks. So, all right, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air again today. We just thank you for this medium. Thank you for the blessing of being able to do this. We pray that you bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just want to thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you. We can celebrate and remember the birth of Christ as we look forward to Christmas and the celebration thereof this Christmas season. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, a lot of people remembering today, of course, is Pearl Harbor Day, 77th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And I remember I had a teacher, Mrs. Fortner, I believe it was, at Revere High School. And we didn't appreciate it enough while we were there. But she would tell us every year about how, as a young girl, she was hanging up laundry up on the mountainside, up above Pearl Harbor, when the Japanese fighters went overhead and then began bombing the base. She was an eyewitness to it. And, you know, teenagers, we didn't appreciate that as much. But I look back at that, and I remember hearing her talk about her firsthand account. And interesting, this year, I believe, is the first year that no survivors of Pearl Harbor have been there. There's only a handful of them left alive still, most of them in their upper 90s. And the trip to Hawaii to go there is just too much. And I remember hearing something earlier today that there were no Pearl Harbor survivors that attended because of health reasons. And by this time next year, there may not be, you know, it may be none at all. But so we need to remember that was the past generation's 9/11. Our generation 9/11 was kind of our Pearl Harbor. But so remember that today, Pearl Harbor today, day today, 77th anniversary of the attack that brought America into World War II. Also wanted to mention here real quick that down in Columbus, the heartbeat bill, which seemed like it was on its way to a Senate vote, it passed through the House, and it was in the committee and ready to go. And, well, NARAL, the Kelly Copeland, I believe it is, executive director of Pro-Choice Ohio, executive director for NARAL, said that the heartbeat bill was horrific and immoral, that it prevents from killing these innocent babies. But it looks like it's being bottled up in committee. The vote is being delayed, and Governor Kasich has threatened to veto it when it gets to him because they believed it was going to make it through the Senate. Well, now, if it makes it through the Senate, the fear is that if he vetoes it, there won't be enough time, or it'll be difficult to get people back to schedule a vote to override the veto. And a lot of the legislature is not going to want to come back after Christmas before New Year's just to override the governor's veto on this. Also, so pray for that. It's still possible that it could get through, but pray for that. Also, pray for the Ohio House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. bottled up in committee. A week ago Thursday, it was supposed to be potentially voted on and out of committee to go to the Senate floor in Columbus. They had some opposition come in, and unfortunately, Senator Dolan, Republican, right here in the Cuyahoga County area, is probably one of the people responsible for bottling it up there and holding off on the votes. But pray for them and contact these committee members. You can go to ohiosenate.com. That's ohiosenate.com, and you can find out all that information. But they're bottling it up, and it's like they're trying to run the clock out. So it needs to get out for out of committee so the Senate can vote on it. And so pray for those things. And of course, I've got some of that information at our website. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And of course, you can always go to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And usually that lags behind the Facebook page. So Facebook is usually a better place to start with. So a lot of things going on there. And of course, yesterday, the funerals we saw yesterday for President George H.W. Bush, number 41. And his body was brought there to the Capitol building, and then to the National Cathedral. They had a state funeral there. All the living presidents and their spouses were present. Then, of course, from there, his body returned to Texas, and then they had a funeral there, which was a little less formal than the national state funeral, and then his body was taken by train to where it's going to be laid to rest. So certainly prayers for the Bush family, and it is always something to see and to watch something of that nature. So, won't spend much more time on that. I wanted to get to something else here, and of course, if somebody does have a question or something, call in today as well, 888-677-9673. But I wanted to read an email. I don't push our emails that much. Part of the reason is I don't check my emails as often as I should. I try to check it at least 3 or 4 times a month, but I'm not always up on checking my emails. But somebody did send me an email, and I thought, well, I'll just read it. I guess rather than put words in their mouth, I'll just read it. And many of you have listened to the program for a long time, so you know how the program goes, things we talk about, which, like I said, the theme of the program is questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And part of the goal of the program is to help people to develop a biblical worldview, to view the world and the things happening in it through the lens of the Bible, and then hopefully to point people to Christ that they might find Jesus Christ and put their faith in Him as their personal Lord and Savior. That's our goal. We want people to be saved, and then we want to educate and encourage and enlighten Christians so they know what's going on in the world and not be overcome with the things that are happening. So I found it interesting that this emailer emailed and they did not leave their name. It just said, to BBC, and of course that would be our church, Bible Baptist Church, please stop preaching about the end of life! !! I have a brother with a mental illness who listens to you talking about the rapture. It gives him no incentive or encouragement to live a healthy life and enjoy happiness. You should be ashamed of yourself for preaching such negativity, perhaps to gain more monetary results from those who have no hope. I tell my brother every day that we're blessed to be thankful for every day and everything. I suggest you do the same. Signed, a very blessed real Christian. Well, you know, I don't know if they're listening, if very blessed real Christian is listening, or this person's brother, but you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, there's just so much wrong with this thing here. Stop preaching about the end of life. Well, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the end of life. The reason we preach about the end of life is because it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It doesn't matter how much you enjoy life. It doesn't matter how much happiness and how healthy you are. If you don't have Christ, then what does it, you know, profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we need to talk about the end of life. I just had an opportunity to do a funeral just last Sunday, and I remember the gentleman was at the nursing home service, and he was singing with us, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and the family had stopped, and they were watching because he hadn't been singing, and he was singing that, and I thought, well, maybe it was touching him on some level, and we were talking about that at the funeral, about how Jesus loves us, and when we think of the end of life, my wife is a hospice nurse, so, you know, I do some volunteer work with them, All Caring Hospice. In fact, they were on the program with us there in November, some representative of All Caring Hospice talking about hospice and end of life. Maybe that's the program that they heard. Last November was Hospice Month, National Hospice Month, but we talked about that. But end of life, as a preacher of the gospel, it's my responsibility to talk about the end of life, to prepare people, because barring the rapture, nobody gets out of this life alive. You know, we're all going, as the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've not made preparations, you're not getting into heaven. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to have your sins forgiven, born again, as the Bible describes it. Have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you're not going into heaven. So if we're not preaching about that, and we're not preaching about the end of life, what's the purpose? We're going to spend a lot longer in eternity than we do in the few short years, whether we have, 70 or 80 years or 100 years in this life. That's nothing compared to eternity. But apparently, the problem was they don't like me talking about the rapture, and says it gives no incentive or encouragement to live a healthy life and enjoy happiness. So I thought about that, and I was looking at Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, there's a great passage here. Let me just read this. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse number 11, the Bible says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Let me just pause there for a moment. The grace of God. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We all deserve hell. We all deserve the wages of sin, which is death, because we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. So we all deserve the wages of sin. But because God loves us, he sheds his mercy upon us, and we receive his grace, and grace is receiving something that we don't deserve, which is the forgiveness of sin and the promise of a home in heaven. That's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we've received the grace of God, knowing that we have a home in heaven, he says that we should live here in this present world, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then it says we should be doing this in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in this verse here, looking for that blessed hope, there's a comma. Then it says, "and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ," which signifies there's two things that are being talked about here. The first one's the blessed hope. The second one is the glorious appearing. The blessed hope is what we call the rapture, the catching away of the believers. That's the blessed hope. That's what we as Christians look forward to, is that one day we're going to hear that trumpet sound, and the the voice of the Lord is going to call to us from heaven, as it's put in 1 Thessalonians here in chapter 4, when the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, how can that not be comforting? In fact, the very next thing Paul says is in verse 18, where it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." These are words of comfort. This is why the catching away of the believers, the what we call the rapture, it comes from the word that's used for caught up there. And this is something that's to give us hope. How the emailer could say that talking about the rapture gives no incentive or encouragement, and I should be ashamed of myself for preaching such negativity. Now, that's just unbelievable. This is not negativity. In fact, let me go a little further back into this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says this. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Maybe to be truly happy and healthy, you have to be ignorant. Is that what they're suggesting? Well, let me back to the text. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." See, these words were written not to be negative, not to take away our hope, not to make us discouraged, not to make us feel bad. These things were written that we would have hope, that we would not be like the unsaved who have no hope. Now, I don't know about the salvation of a blessed real Christian who wrote me, a very blessed real Christian who wrote me this email, but if you are truly a very blessed real Christian, you would be excited to hear about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would be looking forward to with great hope and anticipation for the day when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we get caught up to be with him in the air, and we go to the place that he said in John chapter 10 that he's preparing for us, that we can be with him in heaven. Now, if that's not exciting, if that's not something to give you hope, when we look at the things that are going on in the world, I was working on some stuff trying to do a repair run where we had some water damage on the wall in our bathroom, and I was looking at how just a little water gets in and starts a rot behind the drywall, and you don't see it until more damage is done, and you see some of the paint start to bubble up, and then when you get in there, you find the damage that's in there, and it's just like sin. A little sin gets in, and it's like a canker. It works, and by the time it bubbles to the surface, there's a lot more going, and God comes in, and he cleans all that out when we put our trust in Christ, and even as a Christian, when we allow sin a foothold in our life, and we confess that to the Lord, and he cleans all of that out. And then we look and we think, you know, all the trials and tribulations we go through in this life, one day we're going to be with the Lord, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be glorious, because we're not going to have to contend with sin anymore. We're not going to have to contend with the difficulties and trials and tribulations of this life. Going to be with the Lord means going to our reward, going to a place of rest, going to a place where we'll be with him. And we look forward to that. That's why it's the blessed hope of Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And then later on, of course, after the tribulation, the appearing of God when he comes back to this earth, where we'll rule and reign with him over this earth. Now, how is that discouraging? That's beyond me, but I thought it was humorous here. I got to check my mailbox when I'm going home to see if I've got money in there for being negative here, because it said, the emailer said, "You should be ashamed of yourself for preaching such negativity, ... perhaps to gain more monetary results from those who have no hope." And I'm trying to figure that one out. I don't know if people are sending, if you're out there and you have no hope and you're sending me money because I'm preaching on the rapture, you're sending it to the wrong address. I haven't gotten anything. I don't know where this person's getting that from, insinuating that I'm a hireling, that I'm merely doing this. Maybe what I should do is I should do something more like Joel Osteen and only preach happy thoughts and make people feel good and positive and lifted up so that I can guarantee that I get a good income. That's another story right there. But the writer says, I tell my brother every day that we're blessed. Well, we are blessed. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are blessed. Your sins are forgiven. You have a home in heaven. In one day, well, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember, when we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, the soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven. The body goes into the ground. And so the dead in Christ come with him, soul and spirit. Their body is raised, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, as a new resurrected body. And that soul and spirit reunited with that resurrected body. And then we who are alive and remain are caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. As we said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These are words of comfort. And we are blessed to have this tremendous promise. And I am thankful every day for this. We're to give thanks in all things. And I give thanks that we're not like others that have to sorrow because we don't have this blessed hope that we find in the rapture. Well, they said, I suggest you do the same. Well, I suggest that they do the same, that they look to God and to his promises. Well, we have a caller calling in. We have John calling in this afternoon. And John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to touch base on a little bit about the email that you received.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sorry you received that email.
Oh, no.
This person, if she is truly a Christian, would know her Bible, that our hope lies in Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And that if your messages allow her brother, who has a mental disability, I work with mental patients at a hospital, if that message allows her brother to receive Jesus Christ, how much more blessed is he going to be when he does finally go and meet Jesus Christ, and his body is restored, his mind is made new, his body's made new.
Absolutely. Now that's tremendous hope, isn't it?
That is a great hope. And I just encourage this person, if you're listening, search your own heart.
Yes.
Ask yourself where you're at.
Yeah. And see, that's why I chose to read this on the air and talk about it, because just like what you said, if this gives this person's brother, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman that wrote this, but if this gives this person's brother hope by looking forward to a new body and none of the illness and everything that they're suffering from now, why would you want to rob that hope from them? And then, like you said, they should look into their Bible and look into their own heart.
Absolutely. And I just don't understand where he or she is coming from with all of this. It just blows my mind.
Well, unfortunately, I'm just guessing. And like I said, I don't know who this person is. They didn't leave a name, just a very blessed, real Christian. Unfortunately, they're probably more likely somebody who goes to a church where, you know, like Joel Osteen, they preach happy thoughts. And I know there's somebody who's going to say, oh, you shouldn't be talking about Joel Osteen. You're just jealous. Now, Joel Osteen has publicly more than once said he does not preach on hell or sin because that's too negative. People have been beaten down. They need to be lifted up and made to feel good. So he's tickling people's ears. That's what Paul warned about. The time would come when people would stop preaching doctrine. They didn't want that. They want to heap themselves teachers having itching ears. But, John, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. That's not an easy job. So
no, it's not. But you know what? I love it, and it gives me a chance to witness to these people as well.
Amen.
You know what? I do tell them about death and hell and the grave and resurrection.
Yeah.
And
hey, John, I'm out of time. I want to thank you for that. Merry Christmas. I hope you'll call back again and keep doing the good work. Thanks for listening today. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.